This is the Horse Radio Network.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
Well, it's Freestyle Friday, and I am Glenda Geek from Ocala, Florida.
And I'm Jamie Jennings from Phoenix, Arizona, and you're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network for July 1st, episode 1464, brought to you by Kentucky Performance Products. Good morning, Horse World.
Still stands for freedom, and they can't take that away. And I'm proud to be an American, where at least I know I'm free. And I won't forget the men who
Well, happy 4th of July weekend, everybody. We appreciate you joining us today. And is this a big weekend for you guys, Jamie? Do you go do something? Or?
The big weekend for us is my airline pilot husband is flying away, and I'll be manning the fort by myself trying to keep the horses from freaking out with all the rednecks that shoot off fireworks in our neighborhood.
And it's so flat there that you probably see fireworks in every direction for miles.
Everywhere, especially two houses down, where I try to get the
embers. Did you just go out and buy horsey earplugs in bulk?
Wouldn't that be and doggy earplugs too? The dogs just freak out, and I'm not kidding you. Every 5th of July, or even evening of 4th of July, somebody knocks on my door with a dog, saying, "Is this your dog? Is this your dog?" Like, no, but bring him in.
Put him with the rest of the dogs.
Put him in the rest of, yeah, exactly. So what do you guys have planned?
Well, we're just hanging around here. Now, I just want to remind everybody, we will not have a show for you on Monday. We are off for all those overseas. It is the 4th of July here in the United States. We celebrate our birthday, so we'll be off on Monday, back on Tuesday. But I got to ask you, I keep forgetting, and I've been in trouble for like 3 weeks now, because Jamie's having a baby, and I keep forgetting to ask about your baby. Is everything okay with baby mama?
Thank you. And for those that just had a total panic attack, even when he says that, I still have the panic attack. Jamie's having a baby. I'm like, what? Okay. My baby mama. The pink lady is doing wonderful. She's huge now. She's getting fatter. Apparently, my baby is the size of a cat. Somewhere inside that giant, huge stomach is a baby. I got offered a free lease on a really fancy warm blood mare, and the people didn't want to take responsibility for a year. They're like, we just want a thinner herd. We're not going to breed her. She's yours if you want her for the year. And I said, absolutely not. That's ridiculous. And my husband was like, absolutely, you're doing that. Go get that horse. So that's how that happened. And so we bred her to a horse at Rainbow Equus up in Northern California called Rubignon. He's this big, black, beautiful stallion that, you know, her granddaddy won the gold medal in the Atlanta Olympics for show jumping. And the daddy was on the Swedish team for a couple years in a row, and then he was imported to the U.S. So I feel like I've really got the makings of an amazing event horse, because he's going to be great at both things. But here's what I'm really hoping. I'm hoping that, God, I hope it's a little black baby, little black boy. I want a little black colt so bad. I can't stand it. Just look like your daddy. And I'll tell you why. Because this mare, I didn't know. She came to me barefoot, totally fine. Her feet fell apart. Her feet are terrible. She's a chestnut with the white socks. She's a mess. Her feet are terrible. Please, God, get your daddy's
and
feet.
That's why they didn't want to take care of her for the next year.
Well, yeah, she requires shoes, you know. So, which is fine. I don't mind putting shoes on her. My farrier was like, well, you know, she's just going to get heavier. and it's just going to get worse, you know? So I wanted her comfortable. The odd side note, you're going to love this, is this past weekend, the owners of said broodmare, my little Pinky, who's like the sweetest, most gentle, kind-natured horse of all time, by the way. So Pinky's owner are supposed to be in Flagstaff at the cross-country schooling. And so I saw some mutual friends and I was like, hey, where's so-and-so and so-and-so? And my friend looks at me and she goes, oh, you didn't hear? They moved to Colorado.
They didn't tell you?
I was like, wait.
What do you mean forgot to mention that?
Like, I have their horse. And she was like, oh, you do? Well, they moved away. They sold their farm and everything. Okay. So we may have a broodmare for a little longer than I thought. No, I'm just kidding. I mean, obviously, but I just would have, wouldn't you have thought they would have called me?
Yeah, or like, hey, you know, an email would have been nice.
Something. Shoot me a text.
Hey, you know what? That just went in your, it's in your spam folder. Just
yeah,
look there.
That's right.
They sent you an email.
I'm sure they sent, I'm sure they notified you.
Insta Twitter me or something. I don't know. Do something to let me know that you've moved. Like, good thing I wasn't like, I'm going to go out and visit them, you know. So they have my old horse, too, because they bought my old fancy warm blood demure. And so they own him. And, you know, I'm kind of sad that he's gone. I loved going to visit him. So I'll keep you guys
updated.
We'll
visit him when we're in Colorado, okay, in September?
Yeah, I don't know where in Colorado they are. Go ahead. I would tell you if I did. But
that's a small state. I'm sure we'll find them.
But the broodmare is great. She's so sweet. The people, she's being boarded about four houses down and they love her. She is the nicest. They say she's the easiest horse in the whole place to deal with. So I just went out and bought her fly mask yesterday. She needed a new one. I'm like, I've never really had a, I haven't had a mare in a long time. And now that I have this mare, I get it, you guys. I get you, mare owners.
See?
I want to like dress her up and like put bows in her hair and like braid her mane and tail. If I had more time, I'd be like that little girl with the pony. If I didn't have Lucas going, Mom, I would have that horse braided and oh, so cute and wearing little outfits. I get it. She's a girl. I want to like, and her name is Pink. So I like really want to dress her up in pink.
Jennifer, what's coming up on today's show?
You don't know. You're a man.
I have no idea. Go ahead. We own mares, though. We own a lot of mares. I think we own more mares than we did geldings there for a while.
But you're not a girl.
No, I didn't dress them up. No, sorry. I didn't put little braids in their hairs either.
So, that's a man with a yellow and blue cart.
Yes, exactly.
On today's Kentucky Performance Products Resale Friday edition, first up, Karen Aptista, co-host of the brand new Western Dressage Show on the Horse Radio Network, stops by to tell us about all the fun that's going to be happening there. And then we are heading south to the border for a chat about the American Mustangs who work for the Rio Grande Valley Border Patrol. And as is our habit on a Friday, we will be reading listener-submitted silly, snarky, stupid, and otherwise, oh my gosh, online classified ads, creating your laugh track for the weekend. So stay tuned for the Friday, folks.
And we have four of them that were read by listeners that we're going to play. The listeners stepped up this week. We had four of them. So we'll see how the... I haven't heard them yet. Jennifer was laughing when she was listening to them. So they must be good. All right, let's take a daily Winnie break. As I do every Friday, I'd like to welcome new auditors, Catherine, Emma, and Rachel. If you have become an auditor and haven't joined the Auditors Super Secret Facebook page, search for HRN Auditors on Facebook and request to join, and we will get you added to the Facebook page. So that's Catherine, Emma, and Rachel. Thank you so much for becoming new auditors.
My daily Winnie goes out to Rio. Rio is home, you guys. Rio is the horse that's boarded here that somehow magically lacerated his right above his hock. It didn't go into the joint, so he's only in a small cast and stuck in his stall for the next 3 weeks in my backyard. So I'm so glad he's home and he made it and everything worked out. So he's just gonna heal, getting those stitches out in 2 weeks. So he's home. Yay.
Good. Very good.
Any suggestions, by the way? He's a skinny thoroughbred, but man, at that clinic, he must not have eaten anything because he was stressed out. And he is so skinny now. He looks like I just rescued him and he's, you know, been off the track for years. So any suggestions to put weight on him, number one, that's great. But you know what? He just doesn't eat. I put hay in front of him about 4 times a day because if you put more than one flake, he just kind of walks on it. But if you put one flake, he'll kind of eat that. But he doesn't, he needs like an appetite stimulant. So any suggestions for that? He's just kind of he's one of those girls that you hate because she's super skinny and like somebody brings chocolate in front of her and she's like, oh, no thanks. That girl. That's this horse. So
I don't know. We don't have any horses like that. Ours are good eaters, that's for sure.
Anybody out there, please let me know.
I bet your Mustangs are good eaters. You don't have that problem with them either, do you?
Oh, geez, man. My vet came out and assessed everybody's weight. Did I tell you this?
No.
She was out here and I was like, hey, can you just look at everybody and just tell me kind of what you think about everybody's weight? She's like, Duke looks great. Chili, the Winnie horse. She's like, I'd like to see his ribs. I'd like to. And I was like, I don't think he has those.
No, he doesn't have ribs. No. We haven't seen his ribs in 30 years.
No. And then Joey, he looks good. Zeus actually needs more fat but less sugar because he's kind of one of those crusty necked horses, but he's skinny. So we had to add some fat supplements to him. And she's like, Thor. I was like, what? She's like, she goes, you better not let this horse gain 1 more pound. Just don't. She's like, I know. She's like, he's okay, but like, he does not need 1 more pound. So, and of course, it's so hot and he's very sensitive to the heat that I haven't really been riding him. So, poor guy. I think he's gained a few pounds. So.
Well, we have some follow up to some stories. I don't think we'll have time before our first guest. We'll get to him a little later in the show. Follow up to a couple stories we did on Wednesday with the guy who crossed the bridge into New York, and also the couple that you got up in arms about, Maria Burrell and her father. We'll talk about that a little later in the show. But first,
there's an update.
Yeah, there's an update for that. Everything happens right after our show. But I do want to this happened on Wednesday too. I do want to congratulate the U.S. show jumping team for the 2016 Olympics has been announced officially. We have Lucy Davis riding Baron, who's a 2004 Belgian Warmblood gelding. But let me tell you, you got more of the Warmblood than the Belgian because it doesn't look anything like a Belgian. She's 23 years old. She's the youngest member of this year's show jumping team, and it's her first time going. She's been riding since the age of 5, and she was a veteran of the junior and young rider championships. So she'll be she's familiar with high level competition, but she is the youngster on the team. They usually like to do that. Lucy Davis also on the team. Kent Farrington, of course, a riding Voyeur 2002. KWPN gelding. This is his Olympic debut. I know we've been hearing about Kent Farrington forever. He's been on the show here with us before, but it's his first time in making his way to the Olympics. The next couple you can probably guess. BZ Madden is going with Cortez C, and of course that's a Belgian Warmblood gelding. And this is
Belgian Warmblood is the country, not like the draft horse. Just
yes,
so you know.
Gotcha. Okay. I thought that.
That's why they're so beautiful.
So, sorry about that. She's heading to her 4th Olympic Games this year, and she has some gold from before and some bronze, and she has all the colors of the rainbow, and she's heading back, so it's good we have her on the team. And then, of course, McLean Ward is heading over on HH Azure. This is his fourth time. He was 2000. 2004, 2008, 2012. He's been to WEG many times, so he's also familiar with the gold medals. And Laura Kraut is the traveling reserve, and she is riding Zeromoni, and that's a Holsteiner 2007 version. She's also been to the Olympics before in 2008. So we are, I think we have a really good team. I think we're going to do pretty well this year. This is probably one of the better teams we've had, actually.
I really think so, too. I mean, and all these guys are just totally at the top of their game. But you throw around names like Farrington, Madden, McLean Ward, and Laura Kraut. That's ridiculous.
I know.
And I mean, obviously, an up-and-comer in Lucy Davis is very exciting, too.
Maybe we're the ones to beat for a change. That would be nice.
Wow.
Hey,
that's
crazy. We have a guest I want to bring on right now because we're very excited to welcome a couple of new guests to the Horse Radio Network. And this is going to be part of the Western or the This is going to be part of the Dressage, a radio show once a month. We have Karen Abatista and Timothy Christensen, who are going to host a once a month episode called Western Dressage. And of course, Western Dressage is one of the up and coming sports with probably one of the fastest growing disciplines out there right now. And Karen and Timothy have agreed to join us and to tell us a little about it once a month. Hi, Karen. Welcome to the show.
Hey, Glenn. How are you doing?
Good. Apparently, I can't talk this morning, but we appreciate you stopping
by. You're taking a 3-day holiday.
That's it. I'm already in vacation mode. Karen, do you just want to do the rest of the show? I'll sit out. I'll just let you have it. You guys did so well in your first episode, which is now out. You can head over to dressageradio.com and listen to the first episode or on our app. Karen, you guys did great.
Thank you. It was so much fun. I cannot wait for the next one.
Now, you and Tim have different stories, and which is what makes this kind of interesting. You know, your commonality is Western dressage, but you came from the English side. He came from the Western show side and the AQHA side of things. So the two of you doing this show is kind of funny because you come from different perspectives.
We do. We come from different backgrounds, but we share similar philosophies, and it works. You know, he's a quarter horse. He was a judge. He's been a successful trainer, breeder. You know, really has a lot of success in the Western show world. And my background is traditional dressage. But we really are passionate about bringing Western dressage as a discipline, helping it grow, educating people about what it's about, and really wanting to promote that partnership you can have with your horse, whatever the saddle is you ride in.
Now, judge too, Karen, on the English dressage side?
Now this is a tricky question. If the USCF police are listening, I am an L graduate with distinction. I am not technically allowed to call myself a judge, although I judge schooling shows. I helped create the curriculum for the Western Dressage Association of Florida to sanction the trainers and coaches and judges in Florida for Western dressage. But I can't technically call myself a judge, but I play one on TV.
Okay. So now, why Western dressage coming from the English side?
Basically, I had a client, and she was riding traditional dressage on her quarter horse, and she had a fair amount of success in traditional dressage, but she was an early adopter of Western dressage. Here's a shout-out to Deb Herbert, because she helped bring Western dressage to Florida, and she asked me if I would teach it, and I was like, well, you know, okay, and then I started looking into it, and it's basically applying classical dressage principles to the Western horse. Okay, I can do that. I've been doing that for years. And it's a great way for people like her who may have stock horses, I don't want to say non-traditional, but horses that are just a little conformationally or challenged in the traditional dressage venue to get those super high scores. And it may be riders who trail ride, who do natural horsemanship, Or maybe they've just played around with horses and they haven't had any formal training, and their comfort zone is their Western saddle. They look at that dressage saddle and that English tack and they think, uh-uh. It's a way for them to learn about dressage. And if we all agree that dressage is just a fancy French word that means training, you know, it's just helping everybody be a better trainer, a better rider, a better partner for their coach. For their horse. I can't talk either. You're contagious.
So now do you still do both though, right? You're still doing it. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So do you get?
Yeah, and actually, it's kind of funny because Tim and I met and started doing clinics, and we started promoting Western dressage together. And he's actually thinking now. He may shoot me for saying this out loud, but he's actually pondering buying a pair of white breeches and trying out the whole thing. I have
good luck
yet
with
to
that,
see
Tim.
It happen, and I'm going to take pictures and I'm going to put them on Facebook. But yeah, he's actually thinking of going over to that side.
The quintessential Western AQHA dude in breeches.
Yeah. but I've started showing two of his Western show horses that he's repurposed for Western dressage. I started them showing them back in March in the traditional dressage venue, and we've been slowly creeping up our scores. We ended up, if you know anything about traditional dressage and scoring, I mean, the one very Western pleasure bred mare got a 73 from
wow.
an ex judge. Yeah, yeah.
That's really good. Do you get in the middle of a test and go, oh, geez, which one am I doing today? Western, English, do I lope here?
Well, see, Tim shows the Western, I show the English.
Okay, all right.
He looks better in the cowboy hat, and so far I've been the one in the white breeches.
Got it. Well, I think it's going to be a fun show. Jamie, is I stopped by on my way back from Orlando. They happened to be at Grand Oaks Resort for a show, and Dr. Wendy was there. And we all recorded together the first episode, so you'll hear Wendy in that one as well. And we kind of introduced them, and they really went in depth into what the differences are in the tests and how it all works. So I think it's worth taking a listen. I was surprised. A lot of listeners who are into Western dressage, a couple of them posted this morning that they're listening on the way to their Western dressage show this weekend. So there you go. So I think it's going to work out really good.
Do they have any tests like in the type of dressage test I've done, you know, and it's gone around the internet. It's A, enter working gallop. X, slide to a turn, which takes you over to B to halt, but just for a second, and then you make a left.
One.
Oh, no. As a judge, I'm sure you'll eventually see them. They're going to be there.
Yeah, people like Jamie will show up.
Yeah, eventually you're going to get a track thoroughbreds in there.
Yeah, let's see. A, enter, working lope, X, sliding, stop.
No. That's way too organized. I'm in.
Oh, okay.
Working, A, enter working sideways gallop. X, try to halt. By the time you get to the judge, actually, you can finally stop, but only if you end up sideways because your horse is spinning, spooking at the judge, and then you make a left.
Actually, I've seen that test.
Okay, good. So that happens in Western dressage too. I'm not the only one. Okay. Cool.
Yeah, we did a clinic over on the other coast last week, East Coast of Florida, I'm sorry, and it was all people new to dressage. And, you know, having been in dressage forever, you forget that you say 20-meter circle to the majority of people out there, and they just stare at you blankly, and they have no idea what that means.
There were some really small ones and some really big ones.
Yeah. And some very abstract geometrical shapes that...
They went to a different school.
Kind of freeform.
Hey, is it legal at any point to jump over the little white fence?
No.
No, okay.
No, you may do it, but you will be eliminated. Okay. I have done it. Dr. Wendy can tell you the story of Dante jumping over the little white fence with me.
And that didn't go well with the judges either? I tend not to like that.
We just waved goodbye and left. I mean, it was
we're
one of
here.
Our more flamboyant exits.
That's the advantage of being an inventor, is I had a horse jump out when we were making the turn, going to A or whatever, making a left turn, and we were supposed to canter in the corner, and I picked up the canter. He takes one stride and jumps out. Now, in your dressage world, that would end your day. And in eventing, it ends your competition. But the judge came up to me and said, I'm going to let you finish because obviously he likes to jump. And we went on and continued through show jumping and cross country and finished the whole thing and didn't get a score. But by God, we finished.
Well, see, here's an existential question for you. If your horse jumps over the rail and you jump back in and the judge doesn't see it, did it really happen?
It never happened. Never happened.
That's
so
funny.
There you go. Just make sure the judge isn't looking.
Now, isn't Karen going to be a perfect host for one of our shows, Jamie?
Yep, I'm in.
Yeah, because I have that dry sense of humor you
yes.
all love.
And she's not afraid to throw her co-host under the bus, which is perfect. That's what makes a good co-host here on the Horse Radio Network. Welcome to the gang, Karen. We appreciate you being
Thank you.
A part of it.
I am so excited to be here. Thank you so much.
And Karen can be found. What's your website?
Oh, we're going to get into that spelling thing again.
Oh, yeah,
Karen
okay.
Abatista
we'll put
dressage.
It in the show notes, because Abatista like yeah. is spelled with a lot of T's and stuff. So,
a lot of vowels. I want to buy, oh, no, actually a lot of consonants. I
yes,
want to buy a vowel.
That's true.
And then Tim's is training4life.com.
Very good. And, of course, you can find this show. Just go to our app, look for the latest episode of the Dressage Radio Show, or go to dressageradio.com. You'll find it there as well. They're going to be the last week of every month when Reese and Philip have their week off. They're going to be doing Western Dressage. So thank you, Karen. Appreciate it.
You're welcome. Have a great day, guys.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye.
They are a lot of fun because he's a trip, and she, you can see she's a trip. So the two of them together are going to make Western Dressage very interesting. Well, coming up in just a minute, we're going to head, it's appropriate for the 4th of July, that we head to the border with the Border Patrol and find out about the Mustangs they used to patrol down there and how effective they are. But first, we have to hear from our friends at Kentucky Performance Products.
They had been together for years, since he was just a colt. When he got stubborn, she would gently coax him on. When he got scared, she would reassure him and stroke him gently on the neck. She spent hours building his confidence, his strength, his balance, teaching him to dance. Pirouette, passage, piaf, the final salute. The crowd jumped to its feet and cheered. It was the moment they had spent a lifetime training for. But all she could think about was how special he was and how she loved him. This love story is brought to you by Endure Extra, providing high-fat calories, direct-fed microbials, and natural vitamin E to support optimal condition and performance. The horse that matters to you matters to Kentucky Performance Products. Call 859-873-2974 or visit kppusa.com to order today.
And I'm very excited to have on the air a friend of a friend, actually. Jill, our listener, kind of told me about this program and hooked me up with Jared Faree. And Jared is with the BLM Mustangs and Border Patrol. Good morning, Jared.
Good morning.
Thank you so much for joining us. I know it's kind of been a long time in the works, but I'm very excited, obviously, to talk to you, being that I live in Arizona and I have Mustangs. It's just the perfect marriage of the job that I would want to have. Tell us a little bit about what you guys do.
Well, we work down here in the border of South Texas, and we use the wild Mustangs. And with me right now is a special operations supervisor, Ruben Garcia, along with Isaac Villegas. He's another agent. And we'll talk about the program here.
Hi, Ruben and Isaac. Thank you for joining us.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Thanks for having us.
Hi.
So you guys patrol the border in Mexico. I'm sorry, the Mexican border in South Texas. What on earth is your day like?
It's busy. It's hot. And with the thing is, though, we mostly work at night, and we work from the afternoon into the night, and it's kind of unheard of on horses, but we make it work.
So talk to me about why it's I feel like I already know the answer to this question, but just to hear it, why Mustangs?
Well, for down here, they work well in the heat. They outperform some of our quarter horses. We have right now, we have 39 horses. 36 are Mustangs, and we have three quarter horses that we seize at the checkpoints. And a lot of times you'll see the Mustangs outperform them in the heat and all, you know, the different terrain. And it has to do with just how they're naturally bred and like their sense of
alertness.
Yeah, but the alertness and that you don't get with just the, you know, captivity bred horse. So, other than that, I mean, they like it's a great program through BLM, and bottom line, they're just truly an American heritage.
So I've noticed with my Mustangs, and maybe Jared, you can comment on this, or Ruben or Isaac, when there is something, you know, I live in Arizona, it's totally flat, and I'll be out riding the guys, and they will see something. I mean, you don't even see it. It's 10 miles away, and they prop up, they put their ears forward, and they see that. Is that kind of why they are really good at their job? Is they see things far away, and they notice everything?
Oh, yeah, we see that all the time, because with the brush down here, like, we won't even see whether it's illegal crossers or if it's you know, animals. We might not see it, but we feel the horse start, you know, his heart starts beating. We see his ears start turning in that direction, and we're tuned into that area, and sure enough, something usually comes up, and most of the time it's the traffic that we're looking for.
So where do these Mustangs come from?
We get them from the northwest ranges, like Nevada, Arizona, California, all over. And then what we do is we get them through the program, and they go through Operation Noble Mustang, and that's, they train them in the prisons, and they're green broke. So we get them with only maybe a few weeks of training, and then we put them through the test, and within 2-3 months, we're putting out a highly trained working Mustang.
Wow. So when you are going up to these, I guess, you're going to the holding facilities and you're going, we like that one, that one, that one. And then they go to a trainer. And so how do you choose the Mustang? And then what's the kind of order and the way it works? Do you get them from the prison or do you send them to the prison to get trained?
Yeah, I guess I'll take that one. It's Ruben. I'm the coordinator. We've been up to a couple of prisons. I've been to Arizona. I've seen the one in Colorado and Hutchinson's, Kansas. Lately, we've been going to Kansas for the fact that it's a little bit closer for us. And what we do is we'll go up there, we'll look at the horses. In Kansas, any given day, they'll have 400-500 horses. And so we try to pre-select horses. They pretty much know the product we're looking for as far as color, size, temperament, conformation. That's why some of the horses will only have, you know, a couple of days, a couple of weeks. But if we see the horse really has the heart, what it takes to come down here and then and be part of our outfit, because they're going to be the equivalent of an agent, so we adopt them. And so for the taxpayers, it's minimal, because we only pay $125 adoption fee. So with that being said, I've been up there, we'll take a couple of wranglers. We're all Border Patrol agents. First and foremost, we are agents, but it's a specific team, the cadre. So we'll go up there, we'll ride the horses, assess, you know, and we're going to push them. We're going to push them. We're going to see if they're going to blow up. We're going to look at their flaws, conformation, their bone structure, everything. Because once we adopt them, they are ours. So we do that. We drive back to the Rio Grande Valley, and the training cadre is going to start the work. We probably have the highest standards in the Border Patrol as far as training a horse, because bottom line, we got 2-2.5 months to get them ready. And we're going to put a novice rider, team them up, and send them out to the river, to the busiest area in the Border Patrol. This is the busiest sector nationwide. But
wow.
I'll let Mr. P talk about his experience on that one.
Well, yeah, I mean, as far as riding is concerned, I'm definitely a novice. I had no riding experience before getting into the program. And, I mean, every day is a learning experience, obviously. So I'm trying to learn from everybody else's experience, and each day is something new with the horse. And, I mean, you're just going out there in the field, you become in tune with the horse that you're riding and work in different areas, and there's nothing like it. It's an experience that, you know, I can't compare to anything else.
Now, be honest, though. You're novice at this, and I'm a horse husband. I married into this horse thing 30 years ago, so I know what you're going through. Were you shocked, though, the first time they said you're going to be on a horse and not in a nice air-conditioned truck?
Well, I mean, yes, I was, because, like, I thought, hey, you know, that sounds like an interesting thing. I'm going to try out for it. And they do an assessment that, I mean, it tests your skills. And like I said, I had no experience, but we had to ride bareback and different things. And, I mean, yeah, and then on top of all that, it's wild Mustangs that we're riding. So, I mean,
awesome.
Even that adds to it.
So when they do the assessment, do they just take you, throw you in the air, and let you fall about 6 feet about 10 times? And if you don't break anything, you're in? Is that what they do?
No, I mean, it might seem like that, but no, it's a pretty controlled environment and different tests just to see how your trainability and things like that.
All right, just checking.
Now, I want to know, too, a little bit about you guys are all sitting in a room and you're all Border Patrol agents and you know what you do. I don't know what you do. So you get on these horses in the evenings, and what are you just like riding the line between the U.S. and Mexico? Like, what do you guys do? Am I allowed to ask that?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, a typical day we come in and we tack up, we groom the horses, we muck up, we do all our own work. And then we head out to the field, and what we do is we assist other line agents and patrol different areas. And it helps because we can deploy all sorts of different areas and get to certain positions faster than a line agent can on foot or even in a vehicle. Because a lot of it is farmlands and there's gates and things like that, and refuges too, like wildlife refuges, where, you know, vehicles aren't allowed to go and things like that. But we can on horses, and we can get there quicker than you can on foot. And I mean, a lot of times what we do is we'll be working, and we'll have a group of aliens come across, and they'll call it out on the radio. So we'll go and we'll deploy the horses, and we'll assist in apprehending them. And a lot of times it's, you know, we have vehicles all around the horses. We have helicopters flying on top of them. We have people running around. And I mean, it's a rough environment for them, but they perform excellently.
Wow. And how often, what are kind of some of the statistics of what you guys do? As far as how many people... Oh, sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, this is Ruben again. And I can't exactly give you all the numbers, but I will say this. We are the busiest sector as a whole. And as far as horses, with our herd of 39 horses, we're apprehending more subjects than any other program nationwide. We put a lot of hours, a lot of heart miles on these horses, and the agents just do phenomenal out there. I'm really proud of what they do out here.
Ruben, that's amazing. Do most of the guys keep the same horse, or is it different every day?
Yes, we actually, part of the training program, you know, I'm not going to go into all the specifics and bore you all, but so I guess I kind of leave it open to the imagination.
It's not boring to us. It's not boring.
Yeah, we train horses every day. We get it.
All right. Well, you know, because I can speak for hours, but I'll say this. We have a really structured program, and we have taken, we've borrowed from pretty much every discipline that you can think of. At the end of the day, we're working the horses, and it's all based on natural horsemanship. We're going to build on that trust, the communication. I mean, we're real big. The guys start their shift. It's a basic warm-up. Let's see what their their horses look like, and I want to see the horse hooking on to the agent, because in the event that the agent has to dismount and put hands on a subject, he cannot be worried about where his horse is at. And these horses will follow the riders. They see the rider as their alpha. And again, it's all based on that trust and communication. So yes, we do keep the rider with their assigned horse, very similar to the canine program.
I was going to ask that too, because you see a lot about the canine program on the air. Now, are these guys, I mean, do you actually consider these agents, the horses, agents or officers?
Yes. Yes, we do. And they actually get top of the line vet care. They get their manicures or pedicures on a regular schedule. I mean, these horses are very well taken care of. And as far as their diet, their exercise, everything, we do. One of the biggest challenges, the biggest challenge we have down here, obviously, is the heat, therefore the stress, hence the possibility of colic. So we do everything we can in the books to prevent it. And when we do start to see signs, symptoms, every agent actually out there is trained. They're capable. They'll start taking the vitals out on the field. We'll get the horse in every truck. They have a first aid kit for the horse. So, I mean, knock on wood, we've been able to mitigate colic issues out here very successfully.
Amazing. Amazing. One of the wonderful things about Mustangs is they have really great feet. Now, but the job you guys are doing, do you put shoes on them?
Yes, we do, because we're kind of in a combination of like a rural and urban environment. So we do have to encounter pavement and caliche roads and all different terrain, rocks. So, I mean, they definitely need them.
Gotcha. Now, Jared, the most important question, because I got to admit, I've seen John Wayne do it. Do you guys post the trot, or are you cowboys and just sit it and take it?
It's a little of both, to be honest.
It's interesting that you asked that, because I did say we steal, we borrow from every discipline. And the biggest challenge, especially down here in South Texas, and I'll tell you, one of my instructors, he's a third-generation cowboy from the King Ranch. So you do the math on how traditional, you know, Western tradition is rooted down here. But guess what? When I showed up, I said, yes, we're going to do the Western working trot. But when you start doing that extended trot and we got to cover some terrain, congratulations, guys. You just signed up for a post.
John Wayne posted. Who cares?
That's right. And do you guys, I assume you use Western saddles then too? Traditional Western saddles, or are you using a hybrid or what?
It's actually a high back. It works out really good. It's got AQHA bars on it. It takes care of the horse, balances the weight of the rider. But I'll tell you what, you know, talking about that posting, I'll be honest, I wasn't a fan of it. But with this program, we got to cover a lot of miles. So with the new riders, they're a little bit stubborn. So it's easier to work with the horse sometimes than the riders. And after I take them out there for a 4 or 5 hour trot, they kind of get the concept that posting does make it a lot easier.
Yeah, I kind of learned that quick enough.
Yeah, saddle swords will do that to you.
Definitely.
The horses appreciate it too, I'm sure. Now, Jared, tell us about your horse.
My horse, he the one I use typically, he's a 7-year-old gelding, and he's stubborn for one, but I'm sure you experienced that with your Mustangs. But he's a good horse. He's one of the more experienced horses. He's been with the program for a while. And with my experience level, he's kind of a good fit. Like, he's not really that much of a challenge as far as, you know, like an experienced rider. But for me, he's all the challenge I need right now.
Now, we're mostly girls listening to this show. I want to know his name. What do you call him? How tall? What color? Those things.
Well, I guess I'll give you the complete bio on him.
Please,
his name
Ruben.
Is Rocky.
Okay.
Yes. Jared's a little bit shy, but yeah, his name is Rocky. He's a beautiful, beautiful buckskin. In fact, for public relations events, parades, I mean, the crowd goes wild. They think it's spirit coming down that road. And you know what? I think there's only a handful of us here, and I'm probably the only guy that will actually braid their manes and tails. But you know what? Hey, I'm going to take care of that horse. And they really are. Once we clean them up, people are surprised to see how beautiful they are. And I mean, like Rocky, he's probably 16 and a half hands. He's huge. And some of us are a little bit older and a little bit more fragile. So I kind of taught him. He's close to my heart because I worked with that horse about 3 years ago. And I was having the hardest time just getting on him, on and off, because we do a lot of work down here. So I actually taught him how to park. And a lot of people look at it and they see it as controversial, kind of like when they're going to urinate. But you know what? On cue, and he's happy as could be, relaxed. And that stirrup just drops about 6 inches and makes it real comfortable. It's like having built-in hydraulics.
Absolutely.
Well, now you just won the hearts of most of the women listeners after you said you could braid. That did it. And then I have one of the listeners just asked me, and I won't say who, just asked me to ask you guys if you wear breeches, because they really want to know that.
All right. Well, again, we're in South Texas. I was talking about the challenge with a post. We're not there yet. We actually, our uniform's a little bit different from your traditional Border Patrol agents. We do wear the rough duty shirts like every other Border Patrol agent. We wear the same gun belt, carry the same items as far as your gun, your baton. However, no breeches. We wear Wranglers.
Wranglers.
It's a good thing.
Yes, green Wranglers. So.
God. Okay, well, I'm just picturing a bunch of cowboys on Mustangs riding the Border Patrol of Wrangler jeans. I've got to go. Oh my gosh, I'm sweaty.
Well, actually, and I forgot to add that we wear a different cowboy hat as well. We wear a palm leaf cowboy hat, and it works out really good with the heat and the elements. And it works like a helmet because we got to tear down through brush. Everything down here in South Texas has thorns and brush, and it's going to sting and bite.
Oh my gosh! I need a giant big buckskin, bunch of guys in Wranglers riding all day. Woo!
I gotta tell you though, I looked.
Girl to take.
I got one more question for you. I looked at some of the pictures that I found online, and there were a lot of black. Do you prefer a specific color?
Horses.
For the most part, we'll look at the. I like the bays, and, you know, just the darker shades that are going to help the agents conceal themselves out of the brush.
I guess you wouldn't want a gray. You could see that from a mile away, even in the dark, right? So, yeah.
Interesting that you say that, because we do have one gray.
And he does stand out. I have seen it firsthand, like, working with him, and he stands out in the night. I mean, it might not be super noticeable, but it's noticeable enough.
But, yeah. Well, at the end of the day, that only one gray in the herd, and that's my gray. There's got to be some perks to being the boss, I guess.
I love it.
Well, the general always rides a white horse, so there you go. There it is.
That's awesome. Well, we have run out of time. I could talk to you guys forever, but Jared and Ruben, and I believe we have Isaac in there too. You guys, thank you so much for coming on and talking to us about the Mustangs doing Border Patrol. This is so cool. Where can people go to find out more if they want to learn more and see pictures? I want to see pictures.
Pictures would just be pretty much you look on Google, but if they want to know more about the Border Patrol, my name is Isaac Villegas. I'm actually with the Public Affairs Office, and I just want to say on behalf of the Border Patrol, we're very proud of our Horse Patrol unit. They are awesome when it comes down to being with the public, events and things like that. The tradition is ingrained in that patrol unit, and we're very, very proud of them. But to see pictures and things like that, you can go to cbp.gov, and then from there you can go to Border Patrol, and then you can look at the different sectors, and they have the different areas which you can look into, which would be public affairs or the Horse Patrol unit, and in there you can see some things. But if they really want to look and see any type of public images, by all means, Google has everything.
Yeah, they do. They have about a million of them. You guys have done parades and different things in the past too, so they're all in there too. Hey guys, thank you.
And if I could throw in one last thing, I don't mean to apologize. I apologize. We are hiring, so if there are any riders out there listening, please apply with us. We do have this open, so let us know. USAjobs.gov.
There you
I'm
go.
In.
Can
I'm
Jamie?
Going. That's my job.
Can Jamie do this show? Can she like? Can she carry an antenna?
Thank you very much.
Wait a minute. Can she carry an antenna and do the show while on duty? Because I don't want to lose her. Okay.
So, Glenn, they work at night. This will be fun.
Oh, it's perfect. Yes, it's perfect.
All right. Well, yeah, come down and do an interview down here, just a report. Come on down. Our doors are open.
Oh, you know, I used to do ride-alongs with the police department. Do you guys do that so that Jamie could go along one night with the...
Absolutely. All you got to do is we can talk offline and we can get your information.
Oh, there you go, Jamie.
Set something up.
You can go on patrol.
Oh, my God. My dreams have come true. All right. I'm in. I'm coming down. I'm patrolling the border. What's up? We're going to find some perps.
They have a nice gray. They have a nice gray horse for you to ride.
Thanks,
right?
No. Awesome. You guys, thank you so very much. This has been awesome. And thanks so much to our listener, Jill, for getting this whole thing kick-started. And Jared, thanks for coming on. And you guys have a great day.
Thank you very much.
And happy
Good
4th.
Luck tonight. We're proud of you, too. We are really, really proud of you and what you guys are doing. So thanks.
Thank you. We appreciate it.
All right. Take care, guys. Thanks for serving.
Bye-bye.
Yes, oh, my you. Gosh. I am going to go down.
You need to do that.
I'm in. Where do I fly into?
Texas,
I'm doing this.
Somewhere south right. in Texas. Just drive. Start driving. In 3 days, you'll be there.
I think I might wait until fall.
Yeah, that might be a good idea. Winter, even.
Yeah, winter. I think Christmas.
Hey, I didn't think they were going to say yes on the ride-along, but now that's cool. Who else gets to do that? I guarantee you there's not one other journalist in the horse world that has done that. You'd be the first.
Oh my gosh, I'd be like, they'd probably put me on 60 Minutes.
And you'll get one of the shirts. I guarantee you they give one of the shirts and a pair of Wranglers you can wear. I wouldn't show up in your breeches because they'll make fun of you. But
my helmet and breeches.
Your helmet, yeah, that's right. Make
There's
sure
women in this group, but they are badass looking. I mean, they're tough.
I did see some women in the group, and you're right. They are bad. And Misty just chimed in and says, yes, do it, Jamie.
Oh, my God.
You got to do this. Now the listeners are like, you got to do this.
I'm going to follow up.
All right. You got to get to Southern Texas. That's only, what, a 20-hour drive from where you are, so that'd be fine.
I fly for free now, Glenn.
Oh, that's right. I forgot.
American Airlines, do you guys go to the southern border of Texas?
Hey, you know what? I guarantee you the Four Sixes Ranch down there has an airport. You could probably land right there. Just
I'm sure American goes there. Yeah, no
just,
problem.
Just hey, get you guys Chad to me? Fly you down in the jet. You'll be there in 10 minutes.
Yeah, no problem. I'm in. I'm doing it.
Well, they were super nice. Wow, that was a great interview.
That was fun.
Thank
That's
you, Jill.
Really, and Jill,
that.
Thanks so yeah. much. I mean, she was like, you guys need to talk. I have a friend that just joined this group and you need to talk to him. And that's so great because first of all, it supports the prison Mustang system, number one. And number two, it's promoting Mustangs and using them in public service. That's just the coolest thing ever. I'm so proud. Proud to be an American. Happy 4th.
And they, I thought it was fascinating how they take these young guys who just come in and throw them on a horse. I've never seen a horse in their lives. But I guess, mm-hmm. you know what? You're riding 12 hours a night. You're going to learn to ride.
My God, I need some baby powder.
That's what I was thinking, too. I thought it was funny, his reaction to the breeches comment. So we're going to take a break for a song, and being that it is the 4th of July coming up, this went viral. I think it was about a week ago this went viral. It's this woman who was a Florida woman who was visiting Washington, D.C., and they went to the Lincoln Memorial. Well, you know, the Lincoln Memorial is a big open cavern, right? And then Lincoln's sitting in there. Well, her boyfriend or husband, I'm not sure which it was, begged her, and this is on the video, I cut that part out, but begged her to sing the national anthem in the Lincoln Memorial. And there's a reason this went viral. And this lady did not want to do it. There was all these people around, and she did it. She just started singing, and this is what we ended up with. And we're coming up with a couple follow-ups to stories we had on Wednesday, and then some really bad ads done mostly by you guys.
Can you see by the dawn's early light what so proudly we hailed at the twilight's last gleaming, whose broad stripes and bright stars so
was still there. Oh, say does that star-spangled banner yet wave? Oh, the land of the free and the
owned that, didn't she?
Hi, goosebumps. I got teary-eyed. I hadn't heard that. That was beautiful.
It was. And it was funny watching because there's a video, so you could see all the visitors, all the tourists in the background, and they were just oblivious, right? And then about the middle of the song, they started paying attention. And by the end, she had a whole crowd around her. So
that
was kind of neat. I don't know why she had to be talked into doing that. Obviously, she does some church singing or something because she's really good.
She needs to be on The Voice.
Anyway, very, very well done. Well, a couple follow-ups to some stories, and then we'll get to really bad ads. Remember the cowboy who rode across the bridge in New York and didn't pay his toll? We were kind of joking about it on Wednesday. He's 80 years old. His name's Todd Mishler.
Yeah, the first initial stories were there's some dude dressed as a cowboy,
and on the outer bridge crossing in Staten Island, remember? Well, he was at a hotel. He was at a little motel there in Staten Island, had the horses tied up outside when somebody knocked on his door and said, "Hey, they're taking your horses away." Well, the ASPCA and a couple of veterinarians and the police showed up and apparently have arrested him for neglect of his horses.
What?
They found bleeding saddle sores. They said they were malnourished and all this stuff. So they actually arrested him and took his horses. Now, he's been riding these horses for 2 decades. He left Montana 2 decades ago. That's 20 years ago. He sold everything he owned, his 40-acre property, everything. And his family runs a diner in Tennessee somewhere. He sold all his stuff, left on this crusade. Now, he's run into the police before. In 2011 in Madison, Wisconsin, the police charged him with animal neglect when his horses appeared dehydrated and underfed. And he has even said that he even says, "I don't carry food or water for the horses. I count on the kindness of people to feed and water them." Along the way. And now, how he planned on getting that done in Staten Island, I'm not sure. I'm not sure how that happens. But apparently he preaches along the way, too. And there's a Facebook group, and I'm not sure whether this is animal rights people or who it was. There's a Delaware-based Facebook group that is called Stop Doc Mishler, trying to get him to stop his ride, claiming animal cruelty. But, again, that could be just animal cruelty people. I don't know. I don't know what the story is. There's always more to the story, right? But he actually had a heart attack last year in Tennessee and ended up living at some person's house for a month while he was recovering from the heart attack. So, yeah, there's a lot more to this story than originally appeared. And who knows? The truth is always somewhere in the middle, right?
Well, I'm torn because I don't know enough about him and or his story. And I haven't seen pictures of the horses.
I saw pictures of the horses that was from the top. And, they didn't look skinny, but you can also not see what's underneath their saddles either. So,
here's this old guy that's just riding pretty much till the day he dies.
Yeah.
And his horses have been taken away. And that's sad. Now, the other part is, oh, my God, were his horses in bad shape? Like, I just would think somebody that's riding his horses every day for years would be a little more, take care of the horses a little bit better. So
yeah,
I don't know who to believe.
I don't either.
And I'm sad for the guy that he doesn't have his horses, but I'm sad for the horses if they've got all these saddle sores and are starving to death. So the whole thing is sad. It's lose-lose.
He will appear in court today in New York and apparently has a lawyer assigned by the courts.
At least the horses are untacked and eating somewhere.
And now, you went on a rant the other day about Maria Burrell and her husband. And of course, this story, everybody knows this story. In Kentucky, there were 43 horses found that were supposed to be under her care. She was the trainer that one of the horses, or her horses, won the Breeders' Cup. That was her one claim to fame, I think, claim to fame last year, Unhappy. Well, they have, after the show on Wednesday, they arrested her father, went to visit the horses at the farm. Now, he didn't live there, remember? He lived somewhere else. Well, he shows up at the farm, and they promptly arrested him for animal cruelty. And they have a warrant, I think, out for her arrest. Now, it says for 43 counts of second-degree animal cruelty to animals. So they have not caught her yet, right?
No, they don't know where she is. So they haven't been able to find her. I think we talked about that. The dad was arrested on Wednesday. But yeah, they can't find her. They don't know where her location is. It doesn't mean she's in hiding. It just means she hasn't surrendered.
She hasn't popped up, right?
She's not like, hey, I'm over here. Come on and get me. No, nothing like that. So we'll see kind of how this goes. But, you know, just horrible for everybody. The good news is that the thoroughbred world has really stepped up and has, horse people in general. How much money did you say is in that GoFundMe? Over 20 grand?
22,000 now, which is probably up about 10,000 since we reported on Wednesday. So
yeah, really, really a lot of money, a lot of people donating to take care of these horses, a lot of people volunteering to take them. So most of them have been dispersed through rescues right now, but obviously you can't adopt them out because they're evidence. So they're just going to have to hang on to them.
Yeah, they're
going to
be fostered, I guess, at this point. The Thoroughbred Retirement Foundation has really been helping out with it, too.
Yeah, I mean, not everybody has a MASH unit, which is the sheriff here in Arizona. We have that MASH unit. When horses are taken or animals are taken, they go to this MASH unit, and that's where the inmates take care of them. So the inmates, along with the officers that are, you know, looking after them. But that's how that happens. But not everywhere has that. So yeah, they're just dispersed through rescues, I guess. And that's really not fair either. It's just, the whole situation is just awful.
Well, let's get off of that and on to some fun stuff, because we want to end into a holiday weekend with some really badass.
I say pay attention.
If you ain't met one by now, you're bound to sooner or later. He says one thing and he means another, but hey, he can't help it. He's a horse trader.
Horse trading. Well, it's a laissez-faire. Let the buyer beware. Horse trading. They tell a low-down lie with a sincere stare. Horse trading. Well, if they're talking in circles and the deal ain't square, he's a master in the fine art of persuading. Horse trading.
Shoo, I'm glad you did that, because I was starting to get in a bad mood. All these negative stories. Hey, I'm going to the border and I'm going to ride Mustangs and like arrest people. I am in a great mood. Let me just shake off that negativity.
I just hope they don't give you a gun. Maybe some handcuffs, but not a gun.
I don't need a gun because I don't handle guns at all very well, and they scare me. But I want a baton. I want one of those things you pull out and you whoosh and you shake.
You want
it
one of those?
Long.
Yeah, it gets long. You want one of the expandable ones? Yeah,
the telescoping batons.
Yeah, that's a scary thought.
I'll hit somebody from the back of a horse. You get back over there. You. Just kidding. I wouldn't. I'd probably be like, can we just please take them home? Let's take this one.
I wonder if I can buy extra insurance on you before you go. I need to find out about that. So this is prize week. At the end of Really Bad Ads today, we're going to pick a winner of the box of crap from Glenn's closet. That's right, from my closet. I'm glad to get this box of crap out of here because I cleaned my studio when they came to film, and it's been clean ever since, all except for my crappy closet. So I'm going to give that away today, and somebody's going to win a box of crap. Jennifer,
now, go further, give us at least an example of a taste, if you will, of your crap.
Well, it's got one of my favorite things that I use all the time in it right now, and that is a backpack from Noble Equine. You know those really nice backpacks that they have? You can put your helmet, your whip, and all that stuff, and I use it to travel with my computer now everywhere I go, so we got one of those.
That's my diaper bag now.
Is it?
I go, yeah, there's pouches and all this.
There's
stuff,
all kinds of pouches. I can see why it's a good diaper bag. There's like 1,000 pouches in the thing.
It's like super tough. That is, but I need another one because I like throw it over my shoulder so much that I'm like ripping it.
Well, it is comfortable. That's the other thing about it.
It's really comfortable. Yeah,
so that's I got one of those and I'm just going to fill the backpack with all the other crap I got. So
awesome. Oh, yeah. You guys are going to love
it. That's like
this.
$80 value right there. It's the backpack.
It's awesome.
Yep. So that's one of them, and I don't remember all the other stuff. It's all kinds of stuff. All right. And Jennifer, you're going to have the numbers for us when we finish today, what we can pick from. Is Jennifer there?
Yes.
Okay, good. I was hoping because I don't have the numbers here. All right, let's get started with really bad ads for this week. All of these people are eligible, too, and have been put on the list. Beth sent this one in. Trade horse for cell phone. Something new today. Wanted to trade my horse for a T-Mobile or AT&T cell phone. I don't want any of that Verizon crap. I only want T-Mobile or AT&T. Let me know what you have. Text me and I can send pics.
No.
About the horse.
Let me know what you have.
That's right. Nothing about the horse. I want to know about your phone. I'll give you the damn horse. I don't care.
Oh my gosh. That wanting to trade my horse for a T-Mobile or AT&T cell phone. Let me know what you have. You send pics and can you text me? Because clearly you don't have a phone.
Yeah, I was wondering how he was going to get a text if he didn't have a phone. Well, the next one is sent in by Catherine, and Catherine Kelly read it. So let's take a listen to this one.
We'll trade my car for your horse, $1 Eastern Colorado. Looking for a person who would trade my project car for a horse, not a toy horse. 98 Saturn SL2. 153,338 miles. Whoa. New clutch and fairly new tires. Clean title. May trade for tack. Send me a text.
Oh,
side note, there is no phone number listed in this ad.
I'm looking up 98 Saturns that are for sale
156,000 miles. He's going to be trading for a 25-year-old horse is what he's going to be trading for if we go even up.
I'll trade my broke-ass car for your broke-ass horse. Oh, my God. There's a used Saturn 1999, even newer, for the bargain price of $995.
Yeah. I think this one's probably more like $500.
Yeah.
Hey, that was well-read, by the way, Catherine. Good job.
Very good. Very good. Yeah. you didn't have a very nice horse if you're trading a car like this.
Well, maybe somebody really needs a kid's car. This is a good 16-year-old car right there. It's going to guaranteed not to go over 45.
Mm. The millennials aren't driving cars like this these days, Glenn.
Oh, that's right. I forgot. They're driving Mustangs. Yeah.
They're driving Bentleys and they're leasing cars and they are living in their parents' basement. Okay. Next one is mine. Kelly, I just heard a story about that yesterday. Appaloosa Andalusian Cross Stallion for sale. You know what? I've got this beautiful Andalusian mare. I think I want to breed it to an Appaloosa. Said no one ever.
I think it was an accident, probably.
Why on earth? Well, oh, it gets better because he's not a baby. He's old. Oh, my God. Okay, hold on. How much would you pay for an Andalusian cross stallion, even though it is crossed with
It has to be thousands of dollars.
You would think.
Yeah.
Here we go. Appaloosa.
Appaloosa?
Appaloosa Andalusian. That's hard to say. Cross stallion for sale. $800. 14-year-old Appaloosa Andalusian cross stallion with limited training for sale. I'm sold on this thing because this next line. He can be aggressive.
Yeah, no kidding.
will require an experienced handler. So geld him. He has not sired any foals yet, but I'm fairly certain they would be colored.
Okay, why do you have a 14-year-old if you're not using him for breeding?
Do you remember the movie Buck? Buck the film?
Yes,
there's
that
pasture of stallions and they're all unhandled. Yes, this belongs to that lady. Oh my gosh, I'm just mad about this ad. So he can't be aggressive, will require an experienced handler, has not sired any fold, but I'm fairly certain that they will be colored.
There'll be some color, that's for sure. I guarantee you there'll be a color. Yeah.
He is not registered, but probably could be if someone wanted to take the time. How are you going to register that with?
The Appaloosa Andalusian Society.
Obviously. Google that, see if that exists. Cash only, no deposits, no refunds, no exceptions.
Yeah, because I ain't taking this beast back once you get it.
Oh, this next statement says a buyer must take him at time of purchase, and he is responsible for all shots and any paperwork required to transport. Serious inquiries only.
Because the vet hasn't been able to get the end of this thing except with a dart gun.
All right, I want... There's a saying that one of my friends has all the time, and I've used it on the show, but I'm going to say the real thing. So if you are offended by swear words, turn your radio down, children. Gild that shit. Oh, my God. Sorry.
It's almost too late now. 14. It ain't going to help much.
Yeah, but at least it'll help his brain. He's a non-breeding, aggressive, unhandleable stallion. Gild that.
They're going to need one of those tranquilizer guns to do like they do with the Mustangs. They're going to definitely need one of those because they can't get near this thing.
You pay for him. You put him on the trailer. You got to take him.
Because you're not bringing him back. I don't want him. All right, let's.
Do you even know he's an Appaloosa Andalusian cross? There's no papers.
Who would you register him with?
Kelly, well, I would give you the winning
the butt
one.
Society
just conversation alone.
All right, Misty. Oh, she read this one. Misty sent this one in. Misty, and we're gonna play it.
List in the farm and garden section. The title is Chocolate Silver Pony / Shetland for $600 in Maple Vale, Arkansas, I'm guessing. Chocolate Silver Pony, feathered legs, stocky, bred to Golden Palomino Mini Stud. Chocolate Silver Shetland Pony, mare 10 years old, 2 exclamation points. Broke to ride, stands. I got this mare to keep from killpen buyer. I haven't been able to get a grasp on the idea of killing for meat. She had been very treated like a lady, very good manners. I believe that the owners were thinking she was going to a home, not to be meat. In winter, she has a coat so thick and bulky, she looks like a poodle. She stripped down to a chocolate silver, about 13 hands. New Coggins this week, needs a farrier. Feather legs like a gypsy or Clydesdale. Ready to go to a new home today. 4 exclamation points. I want to see this chocolate pony stripped down. I don't know about you. I just thought that was funny.
And she almost got into a southern accent by the end there. Did you hear that? It was.
I was hoping for it because you said Arkansas. You, honey, that's a whole nother kind of accent. I don't even know how to do it.
No, you can't do Arkansas. That's a different one altogether. Good job, Misty. Thank you so much for sending that one in. Appreciate it. Oh, my. The trailer this week.
Oh, my God.
The trailer this week.
What is that?
It's a 1970 one horse trailer, $350. And let me read it. It's a 1970 homemade heavy one horse trailer with a clean title. Used to haul our goats and garbage. Good floor, tires, etc. $350. Now, when they took the picture trying to sell the trailer, it was full of garbage. I mean, there's a mattress all the way in the top. And the reason I can tell that is because it has no roof. It has kind of a roll bar across the top, I guess, for the horse's safety if it flips, which it's probably going to do. But it's a convertible.
Glenn, it looks like it has flipped.
Yeah, a couple
times.
Look
how beat those roll bars are all dented and wonky at different angles. Oh, my gosh.
I wonder if it comes with the trash. Because it's full to the top and out to overflowing. I don't know. I hope they empty it first. But this is a sad-looking beast. Do not put a horse or any kind of critter in. Maybe some goats, because goats are tough. They fall out the back. It's no big deal. They get up and go. But they're
don't
tough.
Even don't give that disclaimer. This thing just needs to just be put in the dumpster.
Maybe some scrap metal. It's mostly rust anyway. So, Jennifer, post that picture on Facebook. That's a good one right there.
And $350?
I know. And oh, by the way, hitch thing doesn't work in the front. It's sitting on a concrete block. The crank doesn't work. There is no crank, actually. It's just sitting there.
All right. The next ad came from Lindsay, and she read it. So let's hear what Lindsay
has. I love these. It saves us a lot of work.
This ad comes from the Central Indiana Tack and Horses Facebook page. Meet Bruce. This little jackass is the true definition intact male donkey. I would say how old he is, how tall, and brush him to make him look pretty for pictures, or even get his feet done, which in the pictures they're really, really long. But you can't get within 5 feet of him. Don't ask any of those questions because I have no clue. He's just our coyote patrol, literally. Make me an offer and make sure you've got someone who can back up your trailer good, because we're going to back it up to his gate, run him in. Don't ask if you can put your grandkids on him. Don't waste my time. Don't ask if he's gentle or if he's up to date on anything, because he's not. I know nothing about him other than that he will kick your ass if you in his 5 foot bubble. I've had him for 6 months, located in Plymouth. Make offer. I paid $150.
Get him the hell out of here.
He'll kick your ass if you're in his five foot bubble.
Oh, that's
get great. Within 5 feet, you're gone. You have no kneecaps.
Gosh, that see, I want a baby. I want a little mini donkey so bad. When we move for coyote patrol, and I'm just afraid it's going to be that one.
I love too how the listeners are trying to mimic how we read the ads. That's very funny. You know which ones have been listening for a long time.
Well, Belinda sent in the next one, and this is what's funny is the picture, and you have to see the picture. So the ad is a mule with a gig for sale, and that's like a little cart, right?
Yes.
Harness?
Yes.
Okay, mule with a gig for sale. And the photo is of a mini horse trotting. Like
a white and
paint,
tan one. Yeah.
A paint mini horse trotting. Mule with a gig for sale, and then here's the ad. Height. Under 12'2" filly. This lovely little gig for sale, new wheel bearings and one new tire. This is all one sentence. Hold on. Lovely little gig for sale, new wheel bearings and one new tire. The other is bald like me and a very nice little filly. Docent eat much, must sell today. €100 or make me an offer and 2 round bales of hay need gone today. No time wasters, genuine. Calls only, no cash, no drive. Call Brianne, but not between 12 and 2 or 5 and 7. I'll be eating. New owner. New owner must take them away today. I'm going away for a spell tomorrow.
This person eats a lot. 12 to 2 and 5 to 7. Those are some long meals.
You know who eats that long? You know who sits in their chair that long? It's my 3-year-old Lucas. When I'm like, you will eat that food. Mama, I'm not even eating. I want down. No, you will sit in that chair until you finish your food.
Do not call me while I'm eating. I'm not going to sell my horse while I'm eating.
12 to 2 and 5 to 7. My God, he's on the same schedule as my 3-year-old. Fantastic.
I don't know why I found that.
You snorted.
So funny.
Oh, Belinda, good one. I just love, too, that it's supposed to be a mule, and they talk about a filly, and I don't even understand.
You know what I love is the fact that in Europe, people write really crappy ads, too. That's what I love. Maria. Oh, by the way, we had a new listener, too, and I wish I had her name. I wanted to give her a Daily Winnie today. I don't have it handy, but we had a listener write a very lovely email to us from New Zealand, and I want to say hello to her. Maria sent this one in. 2 red roosters, 1-year-old, $40. 1 Americana, very friendly. 1 Rhode Island red, nasty as the devil. Must take both.
There you go. Very friendly, nasty as the devil.
Kick your ass if you're within 5 feet.
Oh, that's hilarious. All right, we got another audio ad. Yay! This one's Gemma.
Gemma, okay.
Fox Trotter Stallion for sale or trade in Clearfield, Utah. Missouri Fox Trotter Pony Stallion for sale or trade. Blizzard's Pistol Peak is dual registered stallion standing 54 inches high. He has fantastic conformation and nice straight legs. In 2004, Missouri Foxtrotter Association opened a new registry. Ponies must be between 43 and 56 inches tall. Blizzard is Perlino in color and 10 years old. He is green broke to ride. Trades considered are, can you guess? Yes, guns! Rifles of equal value in 243-26 and 28 Nossler Weatherby 30-37-8. A Missouri Foxtrotter gelding or well broke mule considered. A fish. And Skibo also considered.
Well read, Gemma.
Those number, I don't know. I mean, like, is somebody reading that and be like, oh, I have a 428-6C.
And I need that particular horse.
God, I've been looking for a Missouri Foxtrotter.
That's not broke at 10
or like,
old.
You know,
Missouri Foxtrotter. Yeah, the orange
one. There's probably some woman out there who's like, I divorced my loser husband and I kept his fishing boat. And I've been looking for a horse. And now you come get this damn boat. And I'm going to take that horse. And live my dream.
Can I say, too, every time we hear from Gemma, I love her voice. I just do. Like, she can read them all day. You just come do really bad ads. And she had it down. She just had it down.
That was great. Good job, Gemma. Alexandra sent the next one in. And this is from a Facebook post, which somebody blacked out where it came from, sadly, because I love to make fun of that. High quality practice horse for a low budget rider. 14-year-old warm blood gelding jumps easily around the 3.6 or higher with a straightforward technique. He's rideable, comfortable, sound, talented, adjustable, and handsome. He's priced extremely low because he has a bit of a naughty streak.
They always do.
A one that, by the way, is very easy to manage as long as you don't let him win the first test. Needs a bold youngster or confident adult who isn't afraid to give him a kick. Please PM for more information, series inquiries. Only appropriate home is a must. And the photo is of a horse that's in a arena cantering away about 150 yards from the photographer.
And you can tell it's kind of a dark-colored horse with a rider. That's because he was bolting at the time they took the picture.
Exactly. Get the picture quick! I gotta get off this thing!
Yeah, you want to read between the lines on that one.
He is handsome, comfortable, sound, talented, bolts, bucks, bites, kicks, but he's really priced well.
You know when it says high quality practice horse in capital letters, it means you ain't going to be showing this one anytime soon.
You ain't
soon.
Taking this one for show.
This ain't going on any show ring. All right, Jody sent the last one in today. Tennessee Walker paint horse, $800 in Ashland. Beautiful Tennessee Walker paint gilding.
Oh, now come on gilding? Now. You said you can't do a Tennessee Walker in Ashland, Kentucky.
Oh, that's Ashland, Kentucky.
And not have an accent, Glenn.
Beautiful Tennessee Walker paint gilding in Ashland, Kentucky. It's a horse, 7-year-old with plenty of spirit. Friendly, gets along with other horses. He is not ready to ride or recommend for an inexperienced owner. Frequently asked question. Don't need help selling him. I will not arrange to ship him nor put him on a trailer you arrange to show up my house. Buyer must pay cash in person and pick him up. This is not negotiable.
Question.
Yes.
Just how often are people saying, I'm just going to send that trailer on over and you go ahead and put him on?
Maybe some dealers have showed up. I don't know. I know he's had bad experiences, that is for sure.
And let me get this too. So we got a 7-year-old, but he's not ready to ride.
This guy does not do blind dates either. Why do I think this is a man? This is definitely a man. And this man does not do blind dates. I want to show up in person.
This is non-negotiable, okay, people? I don't need your help.
I don't need your help.
I just need you to show up with some cash and take him home.
$800 for a beautiful Tennessee Walker paint gilding.
I ain't going to put him on a trailer and just let you take him on without me seeing him.
We completely passed over the plenty of spirit. Yes, plenty of spirit. All right.
Well, he's beautiful, Glenn. He's got lots of spirit.
He'll be gone in no time.
Good ad. Thanks, guys.
Yeah, this was a good batch. And thanks for reading them. If you want to read them, just get out your phone. There's a little recorder on there. Google it. You'll figure it out. And then just send Jennifer the file at jennifer@horseradionetwork.com. Or if you don't want to be on the air with us or you're too lazy, you can just send her the ad. One or the other.
But, just keep sending the ads, people. Yeah, we like to have them read occasionally.
Yeah, that was fun. That was a lot of fun.
Now I'm going to be stuck in this Southern accent for the rest of the day. You can't do a Southern accent.
Well, get ready to pick a number in your Southern accent because...
Oh, God, I can't shake
because it. Because Jennifer's going to give us numbers that we have to pick from to pick the winner of the really big, large, backpack full of crap.
It's a box of awesomeness.
You have to pick a number between 1 and 218.
Wow.
You asking me?
Yeah.
Glenn.
Your southernness, could you please pick a number?
99.
99.
Your southernness. Oh, my face hurts. Number 99 is, the winner is Gemma Koontz.
Oh, well, Gemma. Look at Gemma, you, Gemma. Look what you get for sending that in. You win a big... backpack full of crap. Aren't you proud? It really is
backpack
some good crap.
Backpack of awesomeness, girl. You're going to appreciate that backpack.
Good job, Gemma. Thank you, everybody, for submitting your really bad ads. We'll have a new prize that we'll be announcing next week for the month of August. That was a good month full of really bad ads, actually. It was a really good month. And I love this new listening, or having them read them, and we just get to do no work. I like that even better.
Fantastic job, you guys. I hope everybody has a great horsey weekend. Go do something.
Don't forget, we won't be here. No show at all on Monday. Just nothing. Dead air. But we'll be back on Tuesday. Emily will be here with the monthly jumping episode, and I'm sure she'll be talking about Olympics and all that stuff coming up on Tuesday. And then Jamie will be back on Wednesday.
So awesome.
That's what we got. Oh, real quick. I saw you post this and we need to mention it about the Monty Roberts thing. Can you mention that quick?
Yes. I am so excited. I can't believe we're just doing this as an aside at the end of the show. But I'm going back. I'm going back to Monty's. I'm so excited. So check this out. It's the Golden Jubilee. It's the 50th year of his farm, Flag Is Up Farms. And they are doing all these like special prices for the for all of the courses, and I'm doing the educational package. Okay, it's over $4,000 typically, and it's on sale bargain price of $2,500. It's Monty's Special Training, which Monty's Special Training is 5 days of basically watching Monty work with horses. I'm sure he involves people in it too, but even if it's like just a 5-day clinic where you watch, it's all the remedial stuff like horses that don't clip, load, tie, bait, whatever, all the kind of bad habits. So I told him I told Debbie I'm going to bring a few bad Mustangs for them to teach me how to teach them to clip. But anyway, that is from August 1st to 5th. And then right after that is the join up course, which is 4 days long. And then after that is the long lining course, which is 2 days. So you're going to get 2 full weeks and then the weekend off, but 2 full weeks of being at Monty's and 3 courses involved all at once. So, or back to back to back. So I'm super excited about that. The hands on package is the join up course, the long lining course, and then you stick around for the next 2 weeks for the Gentling Wild Horses course. You're there for about 3 weeks. Oh my gosh, how amazing would that be? And it is the join up long lining and Gentling Wild Horses. That's a course that I did last year. So check it out. Go to joinup.org and join-up.org to learn more about the courses and all the stuff that's happening. But oh my gosh, I'm so excited. So I will be broadcasting live again, whether I don't think they know it or not, but I'm showing up there. And I'm going to do my show for 2 weeks again, coming from Flag Is Up Farm. So I'm so excited.
Now, is Monty going to be there for this one?
For the educational package, he will be, because it's Monty's special training. Okay. I don't know if he's teaching the join up and long lining. He's probably over that. But his instructors will, and they're amazing. Denise is still there. So she's awesome.
Can you go get some of those amazing donuts they have in that town in Solvang? Those little donut pancakey things?
Oh, they do have some weird things. I figured you'd like
that. Oh, so good.
Yeah, the whole area around there is really, really fun, and maybe I'll go take it.
The town is fun. I mean, it's a quirky tourist town, but it's fun.
They're solving just one side, and Boylston is on the other, and they're both really, really cool towns. And what I'm going to do this time is I am going to, on the weekend, take my Mustangs to the beach.
Oh, it is going to happen. It's real close to there.
Yeah, it's like 8 minutes away. So if those who are listening to the show, you want to come and do the educational package, I need somebody else to ride my other Mustang into the beach. So
Jennifer.
Come on, Jen. Let's do it. Our listener, whoever wants to be a part of it.
Wait a minute. Jennifer goes away for 2 weeks and I have to do all her work. Second thought. Not Jennifer.
Jennifer, I'll call you later.
Yeah, we'll talk.
All right. Yeah, so I'm so excited. So it's going to be amazing.
If somebody's actually interested in joining you on the beach and at Monty Roberts' place, just email you.
You say that like it's a surprise. Like if somebody's actually interested in riding wild horses on the beach on the coast of California, God, that's pulling teeth. Sheesh.
Just email Jamie at horseradionetwork.com and she can get you more information. You can chat about it.
Jamie, I'm a liaison. I'll send you over to Denise or the people over there, but I'll get you hooked up for it. So Jamie@horseradionetwork.com. Oh my gosh, somebody come with me. It's going to be so amazing. I'm so excited. Okay.
Auditor, I got to mention one other thing. Stable Scoop this week. It is the year of the listener. And of course, we're having listeners participate in this show now on Really Bad Ads. But we also had Denise Raymond as our listener of the week over at Stable Scoop. She is also the newest helper here at the Horse Radio Network. She is the one that's our guest wrangler now. She's our new virtual assistant helping us wrangle guests. And you're going to hear more about her. And Jennifer rides with her all the time. She has a great story to tell. And she has the only listener to have this story. And also, auditor Claire Kirsch was involved in this show because she reviewed the Devonair Ladies Madrid breeches for us, as the auditors are doing all our product reviews this year as well. Thanks to horselovers.com for putting that together. And she did that review. So it was all auditors and listeners over on Stable Scoop this week. Take a listen to that. That's it. We'll see y'all. Have a terrific holiday weekend.
All right, everybody. Have a great day. Spay, neuter, geld. Actually, I'm taking Lucky to the vet, so he's got a limp.
Oh, no.
That's where I'm going
today.
What's wrong
with that dog? Always has something.
Bless his heart.